Hi, my name's Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to add JavaScript event handling to ASP.NET controls. Let's get started by creating a sample website. Now, this website is going to be in Visual Basic. However, when you download the sample source code, you're also going to get it in C Sharp. The first way we're going to look at attaching event handlers to ASP.NET controls is we'll do some script right here in the page. So let me add a script tag, and let me just put the type inside the script tag. And now let's create two functions in here. And the first one we'll call changeColor, and the second one we will call restoreColor. And let's also put a variable, and we'll call that just color. And then in change color, the first thing we'll do is we'll say window.event.sourceElement.style.color. And that will store the color of the element before we change it. And then we'll change the color. And let's make the color blue. And then down in restore color, what we'll do is we'll say window.event.sourceElement.style. And we'll set it back to the value of color, which we previously stored. So now we have some functions. Let's hook them up to an ASP.NET control. And let's just take a button control. And we'll say the ID equals button test color. Run that equals server. And we'll put the text, and we'll say change color. And then what happens with any ASP.NET server control is if you have an attribute that it doesn't know about, or let's say is not in one of the standard attributes that applies to that ASP.NET server control, then it will just pass that attribute on with whatever value is assigned to it to the client-side HTML. So we're going to say on mouse over equals, and in this we're going to say change color, and then we're going to say on mouse out equals restore color. And notice ASP.NET is not recognizes this as a valid element, however it will pass it on down to the client. Let me just format the page. So now we should be all set to test this out, and when we click on the button, it should change the color to blue. Or I should say, when we move the mouse over the button, it should change the color to blue. When we move the mouse out, it should restore the color to the original color. So we'll view the web page in the browser. And when we move the mouse over the button, you can see the color, which is the property for the text, changes to blue, which we set. And when we move the mouse out, it goes back to the normal color of black. So this is an example of adding attributes to an ASP.NET server control that are not part of the standard attribute set, and then using those attributes to represent event handlers, or the assignment of event handlers, which are JavaScript code that's been included down on the client. Now we happen to put this JavaScript code in a script tag here in the page. We could just as easily externalize it to a JavaScript file and then included that JavaScript file with the page. Now we can achieve the same functionality that we did here by putting the attributes directly in the declarative syntax in a slightly different manner. So let me create a new page and we'll do it there. And I'm going to take a fair bit of what we have here in the first page, copy it over to the second page just to save us a little time and typing. We'll take the script and we're also going to take the button. And what I'm going to do here on this new page is that we're going to remove the attributes directly from the declarative syntax, because what you can do is you can add attributes to an ASP.NET Server Control programmatically and follow the same convention where if they're not the standard attributes that the control knows about, they will be passed along literally to the HTML down on the page. So go into the code behind for our new page 2. Let's create a load event handler. And in the load event handler, we'll say button test color dot attributes dot add. And the key would be the name of the event in this case, which would be on mouse over. And then the value for that will be change color. And then we'll add the second one. And that will be on mouse out. And that'll be restore color. So this should achieve the same functionality as we had in the first one. Let's give it a test. So we'll view page 2 in the browser. And here, when we mouse over our button, we do get the color change to blue, mouse out, color change back to black. So we've achieved the same thing, but done it programmatically. And this gives you the advantage of if you need to know some information about other controls on the page, which you would not know at the time that you put the attributes declaratively in the control on the page, as we did in the default ASPX page, you can add them programmatically here behind the scenes in the code behind, and that way you could get access to that information from the other controls on the page. Now with the button control, which also includes the link button and the image button controls, there's a property that you might find useful in relation to running some JavaScript on the client, so let me just point that out to you. So we take the button test color, and there's a property called onClientClick. And what this does is it executes whatever code you have inside of the onClientClick when the page is submitted. So for example, in here we could put return, confirm, and we could say ready to submit the page. And this would get executed down on the client. Let's give this a test. So we open the page in the browser, and we still have our mouse over functionality, but now when we click on the button, it actually runs the JavaScript that we had assigned to the onClientClick property, and as you can see, we're getting the confirmation window. So as I said, this is specific to the button and its related link button and image button controls, but you might find this useful to quickly add some JavaScript to the page rather than going through achieving the same thing in a little more complicated approach. One of the other things that you may run into in adding event handlers to JavaScript and ASP.NET has to do with the IDs of certain controls on the page. And by that I mean, when ASP has a server-side control like a button or text box and it renders the HTML down onto the page, there's an ID on the HTML element. And sometimes that's straightforward, meaning that the ID of the element on the page matches the ID of the element in the ASP.NET server control. but many times what happens when ASP uses nested controls like the wizard or the grid view, and you have controls inside of that, say a button inside of a grid view for editing a row or something like that, what happens is that ASP.NET generates a unique client ID value for the control. So in the HTML, the ID does not match what the ID of that element is in the ASP.NET server control. However, there's a way to get the client ID of the control on the page. And let's do a little demonstration here and I'll show you how that works. One of the places that I've run into this quite a bit is when I create user controls. So let me create a user control and just put a button on the user control. Now let's create a new page and we'll put the user control onto this page. So we'll go into the design service. Let me just quickly drag and drop our user control. So there's the user control containing the button. Now if we go back to our user control and we go to the button and go to the properties, we'll see that the ID is button 1. So if we were writing some client-side JavaScript to get at this button element on the page, you might think, okay, I'll use button 1 as the ID and I can then locate this element on the page with, say, get element by ID. However, let's take a look at default 3, which contains our user control in the browser. And let's view source here on our page and come down here, and here's the input element which represents our button, and look at the ID value of that button. It's web user control underscore button 1. So what ASP.NET is doing is it's concatenating names of controls to generate a unique identifier or ID for the user control down on the page. And if we were to just try to find this element by using button 1, which is the server side ID value, we would not be able to find it. However, if we go back to the page, or let's say the user control, and let's go to the user control code behind, and actually let me go into the user control first, and let me just add a small div here. Let's give the ID value of the div, ID equals test div, and we'll run at server, and all I'm doing here is creating a place where we can store the value of this button down on the client page. So now if I go to the code behind for our user control, and let's go to the page events and into pre-render, and if we go to test div and in the inner text, now what all I'm going to do here is write the value of button 1 dot client ID, and client ID is the property that returns the ID value that ASP.NET generates down on the client, or it generates on the server rather, and sends it down to the client. So now if we run this, let's look at what is inside of the div down on the page. So when we view default 3 in the browser now, we'll see down in that div is written web user control 1 underscore button 1, which is the ID value when we viewed the source. So what you can do is programmatically in your code, you can use the client ID property to get the client side ID value for the control. And one other thing that you might consider is that because this button is inside of our user control, if you need to access the value of the button's client ID down when you're using it on a particular page, what you might do is create a public property and we'll call it button client ID as a string. And in here, what you might do is just return button1.clientID, and we wouldn't be setting this, so we can remove the setter. And we might make this a read-only property. So this would expose the client ID value of the button inside our web user control to a page that needs to use it. And then you would use this client ID value either by, if you're creating a string literal of JavaScript in your server-side code, and using the client script manager to register that, then you could dynamically include this client ID in the JavaScript that is registered with the page as a string literal. Or if your JavaScript is in the ASPX page in a script tag, then you could use the embedded server-side script execution with the less than ampersand equals sign on the page. And just to give you a very brief idea of how that would work, if we were doing JavaScript up here, so in the header tag, and then we have some JavaScript in the header tag, like we have an alert, etc. What we can do is we can have some server-side code like this. And this might be part of something that has like the button value is, and then we might have document.getElementById, and then in here is where we would need to put that value to get the client ID of the button. And then we would close off the alert. So in this simple example, what's happening here is we're embedding the retrieval of the client ID value of the button, which is exposed in the public property of our user control. So I think that gives you a basic understanding of how the client ID property works. And then when you create either your user controls or you have other situations where you need to get the actual value of the ID in the HTML element on the page, you can use the client ID value. So we've looked at several ways to use JavaScript event handlers with ASP.NET Server controls. I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with this video. It's available, as I said, in both C# and Visual Basic. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video and using JavaScript event handlers with ASP.NET Server controls.